It's not something outward, there's that kind of vision. But when we talk about vision here and the central vision, we are referring to a particular inward and a glorious scenery that God will show to us. Yeah. And so because this scene, the scenery there is inward, the faculty that we need to see this scene
right.
is also an inward faculty.
Yeah.
Actually, it's the deepest part of our being. It's a seeing that can only take place in our regenerated human spirit. So when we talk about this vision, there's certain elements that are needed for the vision. You can say there's the scenery itself, which you can say it's the fact, it's the scenery that's there. But then, if there's a scenery there, but the doors are shut, and you can't go in to see the scenery, then there's no revelation of that scenery.
Right,
there's
right.
no unveiling of that scenery.
Right, right.
So you need for there to be an unveiling, a revelation of the scenery.
Right.
But in addition to this revelation of the scenery, you can say if you walk into that room and there's a great big scenery and the lights are off or it's nighttime,
right.
then you can't see anything.
Right, right.
So there is a need for the shining of light.
Amen.
Actually, the shining of the heavenly light.
Amen.
And this morning we saw God himself is light.
Amen.
So God needs to come as the Spirit and shine upon this scenery.
Right.
But there's still another critical factor.
Right.
Suppose there's the scenery. You walk into the room. There's the shining of light. But you can't see.
Right.
Then there's no way to see the scenery.
Right.
But when there are all these factors, the revelation of the scenery, or the unveiling of the scenery, the rolling away of the veil, and there's the shining of light, and then there's the sight for us to see, all of a sudden we can see this glorious inward scene.
Amen.
And there's a reason why we call this the central vision. Actually, I'll say this. The vision that we're talking about this weekend is the vision that governs the entire Bible.
Amen.
And this vision, we need to see it, we need to be directed by it, and this vision needs to be inward, it needs to be renewed in us day by day, and it should govern every aspect of our Christian life.
Amen.
So in the first message, we saw when Paul was on the way to Damascus persecuting the believers, he was knocked down of his beast. And then there was a particular speaking that came to Paul.
Right.
And there were three elements in this speaking. Mm-hmm. There was me, Jesus, and vessel.
Amen. Amen.
That me there is a corporate me. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just refer to Christ himself, the head in the heavens. Mm-hmm. It also refers to the body Christ, Amen. The body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And then we have Jesus, and then we have vessel. So with these three terms, our brother pointed out earlier today, that me has to do with the church as the mystery of Christ. Jesus has to do with Christ as the mystery of God.
Amen.
And vessel has to do with God as our content.
Amen.
And this morning we had a glorious message on how we need to be mingled with God.
Amen.
We need to absorb God.
Amen.
We need to grow with the growth of God.
Amen.
So that we can minister God to others.
Amen.
Now, particularly in this message, we're touching something of Christ as the mystery of God,
yes.
and how he produces the heart's desire of God.
Right.
Actually, I'll tell you, in this message, we touch the heartbeat of God.
Yes.
And so we are very concerned, as we covered the points in this outline, that we will have the prayer in Ephesians 1.
Yes.
Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. That the God of glory would grant us a spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Amen.
The eyes of our heart need to be enlightened. We need to have a particular kind of spirit. So I hope as we're covering the points in the outline and as we're going through it step by step, there will be a prayer that's going on in your being.
Right.
Lord, show me what is on
Amen.
Your heart.
Amen.
Show me the mysterious Christ as the creator of the one new man.
Amen.
Show me the one new man as the mysterious masterpiece of God.
Amen.
So with this, we can go into the outline. Let's go ahead and read Roman numeral 1 together.
Amen.
God's intention in his creation of man was to have a corporate man to express him and to represent him.
Then let's read A, sisters, B, brothers, and C all together.
God created man.
When we see what God is after and what Christ has done and the way that we can enter in, it brings us to a point in our lives where we need to make a decision. I am going together with God to accomplish his eternal economy, or I take another way. So the points in this message are very particular, and I hope that you would, you know, exercise your spirit, exercise a renewed mind,
Amen.
And then let's just go along step by step.
Amen.
So, in Genesis 1, 26 through 28, there is a particular kind of speaking. Mm-hmm. It says this, and God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heaven, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And now he says this again. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female he created them. And listen to this. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heaven and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Right here, you see God's heart's desire. Consider this. God created man in his image and according to his likeness, and he blessed that man and said, multiply and fill the earth.
Amen.
This means God desires to fill the earth with his expression. Right there at the beginning of the Bible, you touch this thing. God is a glorious God, and he needs a glorious expression. And man made as a God bottle needs to be filled with God so that he can express God. And then here, there is first the matter of image, and then the matter of dominion. Because in the universe, there was a certain kind of rebellion, and the primary thing is man needs to express God. Out of this expression of God comes a certain kind of subduing life and a subduing nature that will subdue the evil one. This was God's intention in creation. But we know the story. After God created man in this way, he presented two trees. Man was supposed to eat of the tree of life, which is God himself as life to man. But he ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is Satan injected into man to corrupt man. So this man became fallen. But here's what's interesting here. Man did not just fall one time. He fell again and again and again. So by the time we reach the point, what we'll get to in point C in Genesis 11, man had fallen four times. This was the fourth fall of man, the lowest of the low that man could go. So in the first fall of man, you have the partaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and man fell from the rule of God to the rule of his conscience. In the second fall of man, you have Cain, who slew Abel, his brother, and he left the presence of God. Actually, I'll tell you this. In this second fall of man is where you'll see one of the most significant oppositions to what God is doing today. Because as soon as man left the presence of God, he lost God as his provision, as his protection, and as his pleasure. And so as soon as you look at what's going on there in Genesis chapter 4, once they leave the presence of God, then music comes out. Then the cities for the protection of man comes out. Then all the different elements that begin to form the culture of man, all of these things start to come out. Then, by the time you get to Genesis chapter 6, things are even worse than they were. In Genesis 6, you have this situation where the fallen angels mingle with man, and they produce a certain kind of race that's not quite man. This is a very detestable thing, because God wants man to express him. Once you corrupt this man and he starts to express something else, it's not what God desires. So there had to be a certain kind of situation for God to wipe out that whole corrupted thing. Actually, there's some very sad verses when you get there, because it says, "My spirit will not strive with man anymore." It was a very low situation, but then God wiped out that whole thing with a flood. And then he brought Noah, and with Noah there was human government, and then man started to do things again. But even after this, you now have the situation in Genesis 11. Those verses are very vivid. What happens is this. At that time, all of mankind, listen to this, was of one language. And so they came together to build a tower. And the verses are very striking. They build a tower to make a name for themselves. God's desire is that man would express him. But at this point in time, man was building something to make a name for himself. So at this point in time, man had not just fallen away from God's purpose. He was in direct rebellion toward God. We don't care for God's name. We don't care for God's expression. We care to make a name for ourselves. We care to express ourselves, to do all of this kind of things. And so God had to come in. God had to come in. And at that point in time, the language changed. And they could not understand themselves anymore. And they were all scattered in various places on the earth. So at this point, you consider, God's desire was to have one expression on the earth. But here, by the fourth fall of man, there was no oneness. There was just division and scattered. This is the situation that we're in. This is the picture that's presented here in the first point. So you consider this. The man that was supposed to be there expressing God, had become a man, fallen and corrupted by the evil one, and eventually, you can even say, expressing the divisive one.
Right.
Satan himself has expressed in their various cultures and languages, and they were scattered all over the earth. So you have this kind of situation that's there. How can God get his expression?
Right.
How can God gain the man that he was after there in Genesis 1 and 2? Well, I really like this. This is when we come to Roman numeral 2.
Amen.
So Roman numeral 1 ends with this. What was divided and scattered in the old man?
Right.
Brothers and sisters, there is a new man.
Amen.
This new man will accomplish God's purpose for God.
Amen.
You know, this new man is the, listen to this, it's the mysterious masterpiece of God.
Amen.
So you can say God had many works. There was the work of creation, there was the work of redemption, there's all of these things. But there is a work that's the masterpiece of God.
Amen.
That work is the one new man.
Amen.
That's the work that expresses God in everything that he is.
Right.
He fulfills the purpose of God in expressing God and in ruling for God on the earth.
Amen.
So as we come to this portion, we need to see, first, we need to see Christ as the creator of the one new man.
Right.
What did Christ do? How did Christ do it? How can you enter into the one new man? What's the hindrances for the one new man?
Yeah.
Okay, so just keep all of this in mind as we go through Roman numeral 2. So let's read that together.
The new man has the form, the masterpiece of God, was created through Christ's death and in his resurrection.
Okay, so the new man was created through Christ's death and in his resurrection. Then Ephesians 2 verses 15 and 16 say this, abolishing in his flesh the law of the commandments and ordinances, that he might create the two in himself into one new man.
Amen.
So making peace, and might reconcile both in one body to God through the cross, having slain the enmity by it. So I'll read some of these points and then I'll say a little more. So A says, we need to pay careful attention to the two phrases in verse 15. In his flesh and in himself.
Right.
One says, in his flesh, Christ terminated all the negative things in the universe.
Amen.
Christ terminated all the negative things in the universe.
Amen.
There is no negative thing in the universe that has not been terminated by Christ.
Amen.
Listen, he terminated Satan, the devil, the enemy of God.
Right.
He terminated sin.
Amen.
He terminated the flesh of the fallen man.
Yeah.
He terminated the world, the cosmos, the evil system of Satan. He terminated the old creation represented by the old man. And he terminated the separating ordinances of the law.
Amen.
We'll say more about this later.
Amen.
Then, 2 says, in himself, as the sphere and the element, the sphere, the element, and essence, Christ created the Jews and the Gentiles into one new man.
Amen.
So you have this situation in the Old Testament. After all the nations were scattered, God eventually came in to call a particular people to himself. And that was the nation of Israel. So, in God's eyes in the Old Testament, you had two people. Only two. You had Israel, and you had everybody else.
Right.
It didn't matter what you were. You were just everybody else. This everybody else was the nations, or the Gentiles. And so, there were certain things that made the Israelites peculiar. They were a particular people to God, separated to him. So, they had certain kinds of certain kinds of laws, certain kinds of ordinances, certain ways that they live, certain ways that they worship, that made them distinct and separate from everybody else. So, in the Old Testament, the only way you could be one of God's people was to join yourself to the Israelites. And so, all of those things, we'll see a little bit later, certain aspects of those things cause a certain kind of separation. It caused a separation from the Israelites to everybody else. When Christ came, and when he went to the cross, Christ terminated even the separating ordinances of the law.
Amen.
Today, you can be one of God's children.
Amen.
You can be one who was chosen by God.
Amen.
To be filled with God so that you can express God.
Amen.
We'll get into more of this later. But the way he did this was he did something on the cross. And actually, on the cross, there is a particular kind of thing that's taking place.
Right.
You may say, on the cross, Christ died for my redemption.
Right.
Yes?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Christ died for our redemption. Mm-hmm. But what we're talking about here is the non-redemptive aspect of Christ's death.
Right.
There are so many things that are taking place there on the cross.
Right.
So on the cross, you can say, Christ is there.
Mm-hmm.
Christ is there on the cross. Sin is there on the cross.
Right.
Satan is there on the cross.
Right.
Even the demons are there on the cross. All of the old creation is there on the cross, hanging on Christ. And as God terminates this one, every negative thing, your old man,
right,
your old history,
amen,
your old culture,
amen,
your old tradition, your way of living,
yeah,
it was terminated on the cross,
amen,
in Christ.
Amen.
Today, you don't need to live that way anymore.
Amen.
You don't need to follow that tradition anymore.
Amen.
You can enter into Christ.
Amen.
In this Christ, there's the reality of the one new man.
Amen.
Everything that you were, everything that you grew up in, everything that you knew, all of it was a totality of the things that separated you from one another.
Amen.
Actually, today, all of mankind is still trying to be one. How are we going to reconcile the Israelites and the Arabs? Actually, even here in this country, how are we going to reconcile all the different peoples?
Mm-hmm.
You have your thing. I have my thing. They have their thing.
Mm-hmm.
All of this kind of situation is still there as an expression of the scattering that was there,
yeah,
in Genesis 11.
That's right.
There is only one way, brothers and sisters, only one way,
that's right,
to come out of that situation. It is in the sphere and the element of Christ himself.
Amen.
Because in Christ, everything negative has been terminated.
Amen.
And in Christ, you can be one new man.
Amen.
Because this one is in him, it's through him, it's with him as the element that we can genuinely become one.
Amen.
And here's the best part. We don't become one just to express one particular kind of people. We don't just express the Asians or the Africans or the this or the that. We express God.
Amen.
We express God in Christ.
Amen.
As the one new man.
Amen.
Isn't this what you've been looking for your whole life?
Yeah.
You thought you were seeking a certain kind of happiness, you were seeking a certain... Let me tell you this, the only one that can satisfy you is Christ.
Amen.
When this one fills you with himself,
amen,
this morning we learned you enjoy light,
yeah,
you enjoy life,
yeah,
you enjoy love. Why would you want to be filled with anything else?
Yeah.
Why do you care about your culture?
Yeah.
Why do you care about your history, your tradition in the old man?
Amen.
Enter into a new history.
Amen.
Enter into a new reality.
Amen.
That's filled with the element of God himself.
Amen.
This is the one new man.
Amen.
Okay, let's keep going. Christ is not only the creator of the one new man, the church, but also the sphere in which and the element and essence with which the new man was created.
Mm-hmm.
Then B says, Christ is the very element and essence of the one new man, making God's divine nature one entity with humanity.
Right.
God wants to be one with man.
Amen.
He wants to fill man with himself. Actually, you know, our nature has been corrupted from the first fall. Satan injected himself into man. You know, even the simple things. You lie without knowing.
Yeah.
You know, someone asks you something and then it just rolls out. No one teaches the children how to lie. They don't go to school for that. That just comes out of their fallen nature. This shows where we are. But God wants to save you to the extent that his nature is your nature.
Amen.
You don't express lie. Actually, Satan is considered the lie. You express God as truth.
Amen.
God as reality. God as life. God wants to save us to this extent. So, in a sense, our Christian life is not just about redemption on the cross. It's about being saved to the point where everything you are expresses God.
Amen.
It expresses the life of God.
Amen.
It expresses the nature of God.
Amen.
It expresses the glory of God.
Amen.
It expresses the light of God.
Amen.
We need to go on with God until we reach this point.
Amen.
When you touch this, you touch what is on the very heart of God.
Amen.
Christ died for this.
Amen.
He died to produce the one new man.
Amen.
He resurrected to produce the one new man.
Amen.
He ascended to pour out the Spirit to produce the one new man.
Amen.
The enmity was terminated on the cross.
Yes.
And in himself, he brought the Jews and the Gentiles together and reconciled them in one body.
Amen.
This is the bringing forth of the one new man.
Amen.
Okay, yes, carrying on. In the creating of the one of the new man, first our natural man was crucified by Christ, and then through the crossing out of the old man, Christ imparted the divine element into us,
amen,
causing us to become the masterpiece of God's work,
amen,
an absolutely new item in the universe.
Amen.
A new invention of God.
Amen.
Let me tell you this, brothers and sisters. No one has ever seen this thing before. When Christ produced the new man, you know, you could say, yes, there were the Jews, there were the Gentiles, but you could say all of these were just men. But when the new man was produced, this was something new. The world had never seen this before. Brothers and sisters, we have been called to enter into the new invention of God.
Amen.
You've been called to enter into the masterpiece of God.
Amen.
So it says the Greek word for masterpiece is poema, meaning something that has been written or composed as a poem. Not only a poetic writing may be considered a poem, but also any work of art that expresses the maker's wisdom and design. I love this. The maker's wisdom and design.
Amen.
We, the church, the masterpiece of God's work, are a poem expressing God's infinite wisdom and divine design. The church is God's wise exhibition of all that Christ is.
Amen.
We'll come back to this later. Christ became wisdom to us from God as three vital things in God's salvation. Righteousness, this is for our past, by which we have been justified by God, that we may be reborn in our spirit to receive the divine life. Sanctification, that's for our present, by which we are being sanctified in our soul, that is, transformed in our mind, emotion, and will with his divine life. And then redemption, that's for our future, that is the redemption of our body, by which we may be transfigured in our body with his divine life, to have his glorious likeness. It is of God that we participate in such a complete and perfect salvation, which makes our entire being, spirit, soul, and body organically one with Christ to make him everything to us and to make us the wise exhibition that of all that Christ is.
Amen.
So here we see something of a vision. This is what God has done, and this is what God is doing. He gave us Christ as wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That's to transform our entire being so that we can be a wise exhibition of all that Christ is.
Right.
Roman numeral 3, let's read that together.
On the cross, Christ created a new man in himself by abolishing in his flesh the law of the commandments and ordinances, the middle wall of partition.
So A says, the law spoken of in verse 15 is not the law of moral commandments, but the law of the ritual commandments, such as the ordinances of circumcision, keeping the Sabbath, and eating certain foods. Ordinances are forms or ways of living and worship that create enmity and division. That's B. On the cross, Christ abolished all the regulations regarding living and worship, regulations that have divided the nations. Okay. 2 says, from the time of Babel, mankind has been divided by ordinances concerning ways of living and worship. In God's economy, in the church life, we must. Brothers and sisters, We must.
Amen.
We must overcome. We must overcome Babel.
Right.
What does this look like? You know, you may consider, actually we were talking about this, many of the ones who grew up in New York may think, you know, yeah, I can hang out with anybody. You got all the different kinds of peoples here in New York. And you go, I'm okay with you, you're okay with me. I have friends that are all different kinds of cultures and things of that nature. But I'll say this, what is culture? You need to consider this. What is culture? In a sense, culture is the way that a certain group of people have found to do things. So you are raised in a certain way, and your parents have found this is the way that we should do things, and then this kind of thing perpetuates itself, generation after generation after generation. So what happens is, when you're produced as a child, and you're raised as an adult, you have this thing that you don't know that's operating in you every moment of the day. You see this building, and you think, I'm evaluating this by my sense of aesthetic and my sense of pleasure. Actually, where did that come from? That comes from your culture. So in a real sense, your culture has become everything to you. It's become everything. It's the way that you judge others. It's the way that you pick your friends. You know, earlier today we talked about our preferences, our opinions, and our concepts. All of these things are informed by our culture. So sometimes you don't even know. You think, oh, this is me. This is a good thing, so on. No, actually, that's according to how your culture has shaped and molded you.
Right.
So you have this thing that has become an ordinance, okay? It's become an ordinance that divides you from all the different ones. So when we talk about culture, it's not just something outward. It's something that's in you. It shaped you in every way.
Right.
It governs everything that you do. So at this point, I'd like us to read, I'll read to you Colossians 3, 10 through 11.
Right.
And it says, and have put on the new man, which is being renewed unto full knowledge, according to the image of him who created him. Listen to this. Where there cannot be, there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all and in all.
Amen.
Christ is all and in all.
Amen.
In the new man, there cannot be Chinese. There cannot be Korean. There cannot be African. There cannot be African American. There cannot be Hispanic. There cannot be Caucasian. There cannot be you. Okay, this is the point. You know, there cannot be you. There is only one person that can be in the new man. Christ is all and in all. So this is what that means. You need to die, and Christ needs to live. Okay? Everything that you are needs to be over with. And Christ dealt with that on the cross. So why would you take that as your source today? You don't need to live according to your African heritage, or your Asian heritage, or your African American heritage, or this kind of thing, or that. That's been finished. Brothers and sisters, it's been done away with on the cross.
Amen.
Today, you need to take Christ as your source.
Amen.
You need to take him as your element.
Amen.
You need to take him as your history.
Amen.
You need to take him as your tradition.
Amen.
You need to live Christ.
Amen.
You need to be filled with Christ.
Amen.
You need to overflow Christ.
Amen.
Until Christ is all and in all.
Amen.
This is the one new man.
Amen.
So when people come to you, they should not see, oh, the Asian Joe, or the African American Israel, or so on and so forth. They should see Christ.
Amen.
You're just there, and they come, and they visit you, and they speak to you, and they have the sense, I just left the presence of God.
Amen.
In this man, God is expressed, and God is manifest.
Amen.
So let me tell you part of what the new man looks like, practically. Can I have, come, and then you brothers come. And then Michael, go ahead and come forward. So what happens is this. This is part of why this is a wise exhibition of God. It's this. You have Israel.
Well, what are you?
By ethnicity. Chinese, good. Randy.
Haitian.
Hispanic.
African American.
African American. By the time God in Christ is done with you, okay, when he has saved you to the uttermost, when you come to Israel, what are you going to get?
Christ.
When you come to Randy, what are you going to get?
Christ.
When you come to Michael, what are you going to get?
Christ.
When you come to Armand, what are you going to get?
Christ.
So all of these brothers are done away with. And anywhere you go, whatever they do, it's Christ, 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 Christ. And part of the wise exhibition of God is this. He grew up in a completely different situation. He was raised in a completely different situation. He received Christ in a completely different situation. Even his experiences of Christ are very unique to him. It's the same over here, and the same over here, and the same over here. So as you look at these brothers, you are seeing the multifarious expression of all the details of Christ stitched into every experience of their human living.
Amen.
You just see Christ, Christ, Christ.
Amen.
And you have so many manifest portions of Christ, you don't even know what to do with it anymore. This is the one new man.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, this is where we need to get to today.
Amen.
Thank you, brothers.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So the view here is this. How do we enter into this? I'll go a little quicker now. It says this. A, Christ should be our only source.
Right.
We should not allow anything. Listen to this. Don't allow it. Don't allow anything of our background.
Right.
Forget about your background. Actually, don't allow your background. Don't allow your culture. Don't allow your nationality to be your source. All of us need to have a turn in this regard. We may have been living this way for so many years. We need to pray, Lord, grant me a spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Amen.
To see what's on your heart for the one new man.
Amen.
And bring me into the living of the one new man.
Amen.
So there in Colossians 3, after it talks about all of these points of the new man, it says, therefore, you put off the old man and you put on the new man.
Amen.
You enter into a new kind of living. You enter into a new kind of expression, a new kind of everything. B says, the worldly people regard cultural differences as a source of prestige. But in Christ, we have lost this prestige.
Amen.
Praise the Lord!
Amen.
You need to forget the... Look, I'll tell you this. I won't go through it. But in Philippians 3 and in Galatians 4, Paul talks about all the prestige that he had in his old kind of life. And none of these things were negative.
Yeah.
But he said this, I count them as refuse that I may gain Christ.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, we need to have this kind of attitude.
Amen.
If you still consider, oh, my history and all of this is a source of prestige, you've missed the heartbeat of God.
Amen.
You've missed the one new man.
Amen.
Okay, we'll keep going. If we are willing to let go, I need to finish that. We have lost this prestige. Now our only prestige is Christ and the genuine oneness.
Amen.
When you have Christ as everything, you can be one with any of the brothers.
Amen.
And this is the thing all the human beings have been looking for.
Right.
Everybody's looking for oneness and for peace, but nobody has it. Brothers and sisters, we have peace in the one new man.
Amen.
We enjoy this because we are all one. There's only one person. Christ is all, and Christ is in all.
Amen.
This is the masterpiece of God.
Amen.
Okay, Roman numeral 4. Let's read together.
For when he is the one new man, we need to allow the peace of Christ to arbitrate in our hearts.
Amen. Did we read C?
No.
Okay, let me read C to you, and then we'll continue to 4. If we are willing to let go of our cultural pride, listen, it will be possible for the Lord to have the proper church life.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, are we willing to let go?
Yeah.
Are we willing to gain Christ?
Amen.
And give up everything else that hinders the one new man?
Amen.
Okay. Amen.
Yeah.
So Roman numeral 4 speaks about for and in the one new man, we need to allow the peace of Christ to arbitrate in our hearts. And let's do this. Brothers read A, and sisters read B.
The Greek term for arbitrary can also be rendered empire, preside, or be enthroned as a ruler and decider of
Again, sisters, often we are conscious
of three parties within us, a positive party, a negative party, and a neutral party. Hence, there is a need for inward arbitration to settle the dispute within us.
One says, whenever we sense that the different parties within our being are arguing or quarreling, we need to give place to the presiding peace of Christ and allow this peace, which is the oneness of the new man, to rule within us and have the final word.
Amen.
We need to set aside our opinion. We need to set aside our concept and listen to the word of the indwelling referee.
Amen.
See, if we allow the peace of Christ to arbitrate in our hearts, this peace will settle all the disputes among us. All the disputes among us. We shall have peace with God vertically and with the saints horizontally.
Amen.
Through the arbitration of the peace of Christ, our problems are solved and the friction between the saints disappears. Then the church life is preserved in sweetness and the new man is maintained in a practical way.
Amen.
Two says, the arbitrating of the peace of Christ is Christ working within us to exercise his rule over us, to speak the last word, and to make the final decision.
Amen.
Three says, if we stay under the ruling of the enthroned peace of Christ, we shall not offend others or damage them. Rather, by the Lord's grace and with his peace, we shall minister life to others. This peace should bind all the believers together and become the uniting bond.
Amen.
You know, right after there's this revelation of the new man in Colossians 3, 10 through 11, verses 12 through 15 talk about the arbitrating peace of Christ in our heart. And very quickly, we have this image here, and all the grayed out parts are the parts that make up our psychological heart. When we receive the Lord, we receive him into our spirit. But now, this one needs to spread into every part of our heart.
Amen.
That means Christ needs to come in as peace to your mind.
Amen.
Christ needs to come in as peace to your emotion.
Yes.
Christ needs to come in as peace to your will.
Yeah.
When this is happening, it doesn't matter who you're placed with. When we come together in the church life to serve together, to coordinate together, all the elements of our old man starts to rub. And this starts to expose the different parts of our being.
Mm.
But that's the very moment where you can give Christ the opportunity to come in and to speak the last word.
Amen.
He will speak the last word. And that way, in that situation, in that experience, there is peace.
Amen.
Actually, I'll say this. The most peaceful place on the earth
right.
is a graveyard.
Right.
There's no trouble there, because everybody's dead. Okay, so what needs to happen? No, really, really.
Okay,
what needs to happen is this. Everything that we are according to our old man, practically and every day, needs to die. And the only person that should live and that is living is Christ himself.
Amen.
When you have this, you have peace.
Amen.
When there's a contention and everything, that means You need to apply the cross of Christ in that situation so that practically your old man is terminated and Christ can come forth to live.
Amen.
And you'll realize when Christ is living, there's just peace.
Right.
Everybody's happy and everybody can be one.
Amen.
When you have this, you have the living of the one new man.
Amen.
So let's do this. Let's read Roman numeral 5 together.
Amen.
Okay, in the one new man, Christ is all the members and is in all the members. Let's go ahead and read A, 1, 2, and 3, alternating brothers and sisters.
Christ who dwells in us is the constituent of the one new man.
Because Christ is all the members of the new man,
there is no possibility, no room for any natural person,
for any
we all are nobodies.
Amen.
Let's all read A, B, and C together.
In the past, there were too many mouths because there were too many persons. With one accord and with one mouth, meaning that even though we are many and all are speaking, we all speak the same thing. Although we are many and come from many places, we all have one mouth and we all speak the same thing. This is because we all are the one new man, having only one person.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I just want to kind of give a little closing word here to this outline. This is a crucial conference. Mm-hmm. And I just want to express this. I have some kind of feeling about this. This conference began quite a number of years ago, and it seems to me that the Lord is really moving in this burden of this conference to reach and preach the gospel to all the ethnicities, mm-hmm. so that all the ethnicities would be involved.
Amen.
And particularly this time in New York, we were expecting four other brothers to be here.
Yes.
And one by one, by health reasons, scheduling, situations in the churches, they couldn't come. And so then I was assigned this message, and then this happened the day after I was assigned this message. So I just want to express this. We are in a warfare.
Yes.
This is a fight. Mm-hmm. To preach the gospel to all the ethnicities is a warfare.
Yes.
And I think in this outline, our brother brought it out very clearly why. It's because of the division in
right.
Babel.
Right.
It's because Satan is fighting to divide all of us from each other from the beginning of the fall of man.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're fighting for. And this is what Christ has done on the cross to solve that problem.
Yes. Amen.
And so to me, we really need a vision.
Yes.
Our brother described very well. You know, what do we need? We need to see something.
Yes.
You know, when we think about what happened on the cross, I was considering this outline, and I thought, well, I'm mainly thinking about redemption.
Right.
That I'm saved from my sins.
Right.
And it is true. But on the cross, Christ created something.
Yes. Right.
Something very positive.
Amen.
Through his death and resurrection.
Amen.
He abolished all those negative things, all those divisive things that have been with us since the fall, really.
Right. Right.
That have been with us since the beginning of time. And now here we are. And I think we all really, we're near the end of the age.
Yes.
We must overcome Babel.
Amen.
If you didn't underline that in your outline, you missed the point.
Yes.
We must overcome Babel. And it is a fight.
Wow.
It is a fight every day to overcome it. It is a fight every day to overcome my culture,
mm-hmm.
to overcome my concepts,
mm-hmm.
to overcome my opinions about you,
right.
and you overcome your opinions about me. And it's a fight. It's a fight. And if you consider Matthew 18, right? How many times shall I forgive my brother?
Yes.
Peter's asking the Lord, how many times?
Yes.
And the Lord, he said, seven times? He said, I don't say seven times, I say 70 times seven. That means more than you can count.
Right.
No one's going to keep track of 490 offenses by this one brother.
Yeah.
Not going to keep track. How can you forgive one another? You don't have that in you. I don't have it in me to forgive. Only by taking Christ as our person
Amen.
Can we forgive.
Amen.
Because he forgives.
Amen.
And then he gives that parable about the slave who he gets forgiven everything. And then he goes after somebody for, I don't know, a couple of bucks.
Yeah.
And beats him or whatever. You know, that's a terrible thing.
Yeah.
If we don't forgive,
Amen.
Forget about the judgment seat. I mean, the judgment seat, you're going to.
Yeah, we will.
I wish I had forgotten forgiven. Right? We are in a battle all the time.
Yes.
We're in a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel in this message, it's so crucial. In the church life, we're going to be offended. I mean,
yes.
we're very close to each other, and we're together a lot, and certainly there are going to be offenses.
Yes.
And so, sometimes the offenses, the person who offended me doesn't even know they offended me.
Right.
And I offended you, and I have no idea I have offended you. And you're holding on to it for 10 years.
Right.
We do this in the church life.
Yes.
I don't know why. We just do this. It's our fallen
yeah.
nature.
Right?
We need Christ.
Amen.
We need Christ as the person
Amen.
And the one new man.
Amen.
And then these last points are very practical, and our brother didn't have the time. We just read through this, Romans 3 and 4. But if we will practice to allow the peace of Christ to arbitrate in us, we'll get further than we are right now.
Yes.
I think this is a very major practice.
Yes.
Let the Lord arbitrate.
Amen.
You have an anointing in you.
Amen.
You know when you're about to say something and the Lord's not. He doesn't want you to say it.
Right.
Let Him arbitrate.
Amen.
Let Him be the umpire.
Amen.
Let Him be the referee
Amen.
In every decision we make.
Amen.
That is to live Christ.
Amen.
That is to let Him live in our daily living.
Amen.
That is to let Him be the person in the one new man.
Amen.
The one new man is a matter of person.
Yes.
It's a matter of person. Amen. And the one new man is created already
Amen.
On the cross.
Right.
All the negative things are dealt with.
Amen.
You know, we're in the reality of the body of Christ this week. And this portion struck me as related to this chapter. And he's talking about all the realities of the triune God are in the spirit of reality
yeah.
who is in you.
Amen.
Right? He's in you. And so Brother Lee says this. All that the triune God experienced, including incarnation, crucifixion, and resurrection, are likewise realized by this spirit of reality to be the real experience of what? The body of Christ.
Amen.
When the Spirit of reality came, He made these experiences in Christ's death and resurrection on the cross. These experiences of the triune God real in us in our real experiences. Now this is what struck me. Because of this, we can live a normal human life
right.
today
Amen.
On the earth. We do not lose our temper, nor do we blame or rebuke others because the death of Christ is realized in us through the spirit of reality.
Amen.
So what Christ accomplished on the cross is realized in your daily life.
Right.
When you have something against a brother, right?
Yes.
You're blaming or you're about to lose your temper. The death of Christ is there operating.
Amen.
Moreover, the spirit with the resurrection of Christ works in us, I love this, to enable us to love and forgive
Amen.
Others.
Amen.
How do we do that? It's only by the resurrection.
Amen.
These are all examples of how the experience of the triune God Himself have been realized in the church by the spirit of reality to be the real experiences of the church.
Amen.
Because we have to experience this.
Amen.
This can't just be an outline of, oh, this is a wonderful message.
Right.
The mysterious Christ, the creator of the one new man, as the masterpiece of God. But this is true. God created one man
Amen.
Adam, to express Him
right.
And to have dominion
yeah.
over the enemy.
Amen.
Satan's fighting against that.
Right.
And in the fall, this man became the old man.
Right.
So Christ created one new man
Amen.
On the cross.
Amen.
And now it is our responsibility. And we need to practice this.
Amen.
Take Christ as our person.
Amen.
So that we could be the reality of the one new man.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I don't know. We need a vision of this.
Amen.
If we could experience this, it's not like everybody in the whole world is going to, you know,
right, right.
be expressing things
right.
in this way. But if we in the churches do,
Amen.
If we express this in Brooklyn,
right.
if we express
right.
this in Houston or
Amen.
In Washington or in any local churches,
yeah.
if we would express this and Christ is our person wherever we are,
Amen.
Then the Lord will come.
Amen.
The Lord
Amen.
Will come. He will have what He's after.
Right.
Why? Because He will have one new man
Amen.
Expressing Christ on the earth today.
Amen.
One new man dealing with God's enemy today.
Amen.
Putting him to shame.
Amen.
You know, the brothers were saying, oh, after I broke my wrist, he said, oh, you don't have to share tonight. You don't have to share tonight. I said, I have to share tonight to shame the devil.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
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 Satan, you're a liar.
Amen.
And the wonder man will be manifest.
Amen.
You can break all of our wrists, we don't care.
Amen.
That doesn't bother me 1 minute.
Amen.
What bothers me is that we would miss the point.
Right.
We wouldn't live out what we've been seeing.
Amen.
And to live it, you have to see it. You have to have the vision.
Amen.
And as our brother mentioned to me, this is all a matter of the mingled spirit.
Amen.
We don't see anything outside of the spirit.
Right.
That's why Paul prayed for a spirit, wisdom, and revelation. Amen. Right? And in chapter 2, the dwelling place of God is in your mingled spirit.
Amen.
Right? That means the reality of the one new man is in your mingled spirit.
Amen.
And you know, when Ed gave this message in the Wednesday night meetings, he brought out this marvelous verse. In John 14:30, the Lord said, in me, right, the devil has nothing, no ground, no, you know, no way, right?
Yeah.
He has nothing in me. Ruler of this world has nothing in me. This me is in your spirit.
Amen.
That means in your spirit,
amen,
the devil has none.
Amen.
He has no way. He has no hope.
Amen.
So let us learn to stay in our mingled spirit.
Amen.
And to enjoy the Lord and bring out this one new man in our mingled spirit.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I think we have some particular.
I don't know if it's working.
It's not working. Just to say a little something quickly concerning what we will transition into right now, and Brother Ivanhoe or Ricky will come. Come on up, Ivanhoe. We will, when you come back, you will, as you get into your groups, we want you to come back and overflow up here, and each group will have 3 minutes. For the entire group. So if you are the first one, please consider the